I remember looking at my quarter-acre lot and feeling like a failure before I even started. I saw the glossy photos of sprawling ranches with rolling hills and hundreds of cattle. I thought that if I did not have 10 acres, I could not call myself a producer. I was wrong. The truth is that capability is not measured by the size of your deed. It is measured by how well you use the dirt under your boots. Every square foot is a resource. If you have a patio, you have a poultry farm. If you have a side yard, you have a dairy. We have been taught to think big or stay home, but that mindset keeps us dependent on a grocery store that does not care about our resilience. Choosing the right animal for your specific footprint is the first real act of independence. You are not too small to start. You just need a different map. Chapter 1. The scope of the micro lot. I spent years believing that livestock required a horizon. I thought that if I couldn't see a herd of cows grazing in the distance, I wasn't really farming. But when I looked closer at my own small plot, I realized that I was looking at the wrong animals. The scope of a homestead is determined by your goals, not just your acreage. If your goal is self-reliance, you have to match the animal to the calories you can realistically support. Why it matters: understanding the scope of your land prevents the heartbreak of overextension. When we try to force a large animal into a small space, we create a prison rather than a productive system. Doing things this way ensures that the land stays healthy and the animals thrive. It is the difference between a homestead that feeds you and a homestead that drains you. The math of density. When we talk about livestock, we usually talk about animal units per acre. On a traditional scale, one cow needs about 2 acres of good pasture. On a micro scale, we have to flip the script. We look at square footage. Cauternix quail are the gold standard for the tiny lot. You can humanely house one bird per square foot. In a 3-tier vertical cage system that takes up only 4 square feet of floor space, you can have 12 birds producing eggs daily. Rabbits are the next step up. They are the silent producers of the homestead world. 2 does and 1 buck can produce over 300 pounds of meat in a single year. They require almost no horizontal space if you use a hutch system. I learned quickly that the why behind choosing rabbits wasn't just about the meat. It was about the manure. Rabbit manure is cold, meaning it can go directly into the garden without composting. This creates a closed-loop system where the animals feed the plants and the plants feed the animals. Assessing your footprint, before you buy a single chick or kit, you must map your sun and wind. Livestock in small spaces are more vulnerable to the elements because they cannot move to find a better microclimate. I suggest taking a week to watch how the sun hits your yard. Where does the water pool when it rains? A small lot becomes a mud pit much faster than a large field. If your only available space is in a low-lying area, your scope is limited to animals that can handle wet feet, or you have to build up. Safety and scale safety on a small lot is about preventing nuisance issues. In a tight neighborhood, a noisy animal is a liability. This is why I advocate for quiet livestock in microsystems. You have to consider the safety of your neighbors and your standing in the community. One complaint to code enforcement can end your journey before it truly begins. Always check your local ordinances regarding small livestock. Many towns allow hens, but forbid roosters. Some allow rabbits, but classify them as pets, which changes how many you can keep. The tool of observation. The most important tool you have is your own eyes. In a large field, you might not notice a limping sheep for a day or two. In a microsystem, you are in close quarters every single morning. This allows for a level of care that commercial farms can never replicate. You see the subtle changes in behavior. You notice the off-color droppings or the dull coat immediately. This high-touch environment is what makes small-scale homesteading so incredibly successful. When people ask me how small is too small, I tell them that as long as you have air and light, you can produce something. It is about the shift from consumer to producer. It is about taking the tiny piece of the earth you are responsible for and making it work. You do not need a tractor to be a farmer. You just need the discipline to manage what you have. The size of your dream shouldn't be limited by the size of your fence. Chapter 2. The infrastructure of small infrastructure on a large farm is about heavy machinery and miles of wire. On my small lot, infrastructure is about precision. When every inch counts, you cannot afford a close enough mentality. You have to build with the intent of maximizing every square foot while maintaining a standard of cleanliness that keeps the peace with your neighbors and your own nose. Why it matters: in a confined space, the why behind good infrastructure is health. Disease spreads faster in small quarters. Ammonia builds up quicker. If your systems are not designed for easy cleaning and efficient flow, you will burn out within 6 months. Building it right the first time is the only way to ensure your homestead remains a place of joy rather than a chore-filled nightmare. The portable solution. I am a firm believer in the tractor method, not the machine, but the bottomless cage. For chickens or meat birds, a portable tractor allows you to move the animals to fresh grass every single day. This prevents the ground from becoming sour. Even in a small backyard, you can design a tractor that is only 3 feet wide and 6 feet long. By moving it daily, you distribute the nitrogen from the manure evenly across your lawn. You are essentially using the livestock to fertilize your grass while they forage for bugs. This dual-purpose infrastructure is the secret to a thriving microlot. Waste management systems. Waste is the biggest hurdle for the small-scale owner. You cannot just pile manure in a corner and forget about it. I utilize a 3-bin composting system. The first bin is for fresh bedding and manure. The second is for actively cooking compost. The third is for finished black gold, ready for the garden. By keeping the waste contained and managed, you eliminate the smell and the flies that usually plague livestock owners. I also use the deep litter method in my fixed coops during the winter. By adding fresh carbon, like pine shavings or straw on top of the waste, you create an insulating layer that breaks down over time, generating heat for the birds and a rich compost for the spring. Zoning and legal red lines. I cannot stress this enough. Know your local codes. I have seen too many people spend thousands of dollars on a beautiful shed only to be told it violates a setback or a livestock ordinance. Infrastructure in a small space often requires stealth. This doesn't mean breaking the law. It means making your homestead look like a garden. Use cedar pickets to hide your compost bins. Use attractive roofing on your coops. When your setup looks like a deliberate part of the landscape rather than a junkyard, you avoid the eyesore complaints that trigger inspections. Materials and durability. When space is tight, use high-quality materials. I prefer hardware cloth over chicken wire. Chicken wire keeps chickens in, but it does not keep predators out. In a suburban setting, predators like raccoons and stray dogs are your biggest threat. They are bold and clever. Every door should have a 2-step latch. If a toddler can open it, a raccoon can open it. I also recommend using galvanized steel for feeders and waterers. Plastic degrades in the sun and is harder to sanitize. In a small system, your tools are fewer, so they should be better. The setup of flow. Think about your morning path. Is the water spigot close to the animals? Do you have to carry heavy bags of feed across the entire yard? I designed my infrastructure so that all my daily tasks happen in a straight line. The feed bin is located directly next to the coops. The water hose reaches every enclosure without an extension. This efficiency is what allows me to manage my livestock in 15 minutes before I go to work. If it takes an hour, you won't do it. If it takes 15 minutes, it becomes a ritual. Capability is born from a well-organized system. When your infrastructure is solid, you are free to focus on the animals themselves. You aren't fighting the environment, you are managing it. Small-scale success is 10% biology and 90% engineering. Efficiency is the bridge between a hobby and a lifestyle. Chapter 3. The care and longevity. I have learned that the smaller the space, the higher the stakes for care. On a 100-acre ranch, a single sick bird might go unnoticed until it recovers or disappears. On my lot, that same sick bird is a flashing red light. Long-term success on a micro homestead isn't about how many animals you can fit, it's about how long you can keep your system healthy and productive. Why it matters. Small-scale homesteading is a marathon, not a sprint. The why behind intensive care is sustainability. If you lose your flock to a preventable disease because of crowding, you haven't just lost animals, you have lost your food security and your confidence. Taking the extra steps to ensure longevity means your homestead will still be feeding you a decade from now. Rotational grazing in square feet. You don't need a pasture to graze. I use a system of paddock shifts, even in my small side yard. By using temporary electric netting or even simple folding panels, I can section off a 10x10 area for my goats or sheep for just 2 days. Then I move them. This pulse grazing allows the plants to recover fully before being bitten again. In a small space, you have to be the brain for the animals. They will eat the grass down to the roots and kill it if you let them. By managing their movement, you keep the soil alive and the parasites at bay. Parasites are the silent killer in small lots, because the animals are constantly re-exposed to their own waste. Movement is the best medicine, disease prevention in tight quarters. Biosecurity is a word that sounds like it belongs in a lab, but it belongs in your backyard. I have a strict no outside shoes policy near my breeding pens. It is incredibly easy to track an avian flu or coccidiosis on your boots. In a microsystem, I also prioritize all-in, all-out cycles for meat animals. This means I raise a batch of meat birds, butcher them, and then leave the area empty for 2 weeks to let the sun sanitize the ground before starting the next batch. This break in the cycle is the most effective way to prevent the buildup of pathogens. Breeding for scale. When you are working with limited space, you cannot keep every cute baby animal that is born. You have to be ruthless in your culling. I breed for three things: temperament, efficiency, and hardiness. I cannot afford an aggressive animal in a small space. I cannot afford a picky eater. I need animals that convert feed to protein efficiently and don't get sick when the weather shifts. Over time, you will develop a landrace of animals that are perfectly adapted to your specific microclimate and your specific management style. This is the ultimate form of self-reliance, the check-and-fix ritual. Every evening, I do a perimeter check. I look for signs of digging under the fences. I check the eyes and vents of my birds. I feel the ribs of my rabbits to ensure they are at a healthy weight. These small checks prevent big disasters. If I find a loose wire, I fix it that night. In a small space, there is no later. The proximity of your animals to your home means that any failure in your care system will be felt immediately. The labor of the microsystem. People often ask if the work is worth the output. They see me hauling water or moving fences and wonder why I don't just go to the store. The answer is in the quality of the life I am leading. On a small lot, you are intimately connected to the cycle of life and death. You know exactly what went into the eggs you are eating. You know that the animal had a good life, fresh air, and the best care possible. The labor is not a burden, it is the price of admission for a life of capability. You are the guardian of your small kingdom. The smaller the kingdom, the more important the guardian becomes. Longevity isn't a gift, it is a result of the daily choices you make to put the needs of the land and the animals above your own convenience. Your footprint may be small, but your impact on your own life is massive.